Alright, you can take your seat. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. To read from verse 15. Galatians 6:15. It says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." Amen. Okay, God wants the world, the fourth part. Paul calls the church the Israel of God. We said that comes with two things, a blessing and a responsibility. Okay, the blessing of righteousness, the responsibility to herald that righteousness. Amen. So, we're looking at the subject of missions and evangelism in the epistles. Now, so far, we've examined the books of Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then we proceeded into the pastoral epistles. These consist of 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. We examined 1st and 2nd Timothy so far. 2nd Timothy was Paul's last epistle. We said that, right? Reading just before his death. Alright, but since the books of the Bible were not arranged chronologically, you know that Job was the first book of the Bible. Job, right? But in the beginning you find Genesis. So the books of the Bible were not arranged chronologically, that is, in the order in which they were written. Therefore, we have Titus and Philemon follow after 2 Timothy. Actually, 2 Timothy should have been Paul's last epistle, but we find Titus and Philemon follow after 2 Timothy. So we'll examine Titus and Philemon in this service. Alright, in our study on missions and evangelism. So beginning with Titus, also a pastoral epistle. Titus. Now you may turn your Bible there quickly. The book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, read from verse 1 to 3. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So that will be the first subheading here. Now in Paul's introduction, in his epistle to Titus, he explains his commission as a preacher of the gospel. Okay, now in verse 1, he says that he is a born servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now we explained what this means, that word born servant as well as apostle. So you may write here, see comments in Romans 1:1 and Romans 1:5 for explanation of these terms. Do you get it? So that we do not belabor that point. It says that there, he is an apostle according to or in reference to the faith of God's elect. He is sent by Jesus to convince man towards faith in Christ and for the acknowledgement of the truth. Now the word acknowledgement translates to Greek epignosis, epignosis. The O after N accentuated, it means a recognition, precise and accurate knowledge. Paul's ministry entails making men come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, the truth is the gospel. When you find the truth definite, it is the gospel. Look at Galatians 2, verse 5. Galatians 2, 5. It says, "To whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel," underline that, "the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Verse 14 of that same chapter, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," see that again, "the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" Now this truth accords to godliness. Alright, it accords to godliness. That is, it promotes piety and devotion to God. Eusebia in the Greek, Eusebia. Now Paul's message is not political or scientific. It is a spiritual truth. Alright? And this message is hope of eternal life. Verse 2 says, Titus 1. Alright? Hope of eternal life. It says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." Paul had said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10, 2 Timothy 1:10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, underline that, abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, underline from broad to gospel. Now Paul preached that men receive this life. God promised this life before time began. Verse 2 says, alright, look at Romans 16 verse 25. Romans 16 verse 25, it says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Underline that, since the world began. That means that right from the very beginning. Okay, from the very beginning, you would find this promise of life. Okay, although in a mystery, that is, in an hidden form, not easily noticeable. Alright, for example, see Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. You would find in the beginning God's promise of life. Alright, Genesis 22, verse 18. It says, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you obeyed my voice. So this is one of such places in the Old Testament, particularly in the beginning, okay, where God's promise of life can be found. So right from the beginning, God promises life, and God cannot lie. Okay, what he promised, he fulfilled in his son Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, that is fulfilled to the glory of God through us. Now God has in due time manifested his word through preaching. Verse 3 says, Titus chapter 1. You may go back then. Okay, now this word refers to the gospel preached. Okay, Paul says similarly in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16 verse 25 to 26. Verses 25 to 26, it says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, underline that, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, underline the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, underline made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. God makes his message known or manifested through preaching and preachers. Okay, he makes his message known or manifested through preaching and preachers. Romans chapter 10 verse 14. Paul says that there, Romans 10 verse 14. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Underline from how to preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now this is done in due time, Paul says, right? In due time, or in the right seasons. That's what that means. In the right seasons, at the proper time, the best time. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, and Jesus there speaks of the times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, so God has a schedule. Simply put, a divine schedule. Okay, he does things according to that schedule. Alright, so Paul preached this gospel at the time appointed by God and at his command. Alright? That was done at his command. It says, verse 3, Titus 1 back there again. It says, which is committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Paul had always stated clearly that he was commissioned by God himself as his missionary. Galatians 1:1. Let's see that quickly. Galatians 1:1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. On the line from through to Father, who raised him from the dead. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:1. Similarly there, 1 Corinthians 1:1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Underline that, through the will of God, as he studies our brother. Look at Romans 1:1. Romans 1:1. It says, Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, underlined from separated to God, Acts 26, records Jesus' words to him. Acts 26:17-18, as we close gradually. Acts 26:17-18. Okay, it says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you. 18 says, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, Paul's commission came from God himself. Preaching the gospel fully and clearly is now being done in accordance with God's plan. Amen. Okay, so let's move on now quickly to Philemon as we begin to close gradually. Philemon. Now, Philemon is a short letter written to Philemon, alright, a leader in the early church. Now, Paul wrote this letter while in prison, alright? It's one of those prison epistles. Now, it begins this way. You may turn your Bible there quickly. Philemon 1:1. Philemon 1:1. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Underline that, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. See that? And fellow laborer. Now, Paul uses that word prisoner both literally and metaphorically. You notice it says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul uses that word prisoner both literally and metaphorically. Desmios in the Greek. Desmios. Desmios. It means one bound. Do you follow that? One bound, a captive. So Paul is in chains physically, literally, right? And he's also a born servant of Jesus spiritually. Do you get it? So it's a play on words. Alright? Paul often referred to himself as the prisoner of the Lord in his epistles. Look at Ephesians 3:1 as we close gradually. Let's run through that. Ephesians 3:1. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. You see that? Underline that, okay? The prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Look at Galatians 4:1. Galatians 4:1. It says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Underline that, the prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Look at Ephesians 6:20. Ephesians 6:20. It says, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Underline that, an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Look at Philippians 1:13. Philippians 1:13. It says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Do you see that? My chains are in Christ. Or you can say, for the sake of Christ. Now, it repeats similarly in verse 9 of Philemon 1. Verse 9, Philemon 1, it says, yet, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 13 of that same chapter, Philemon 1, verse 13, it says, oh, my wish to keep with me that on your behalf, he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Online from Ian to gospel. So Paul is in chains for the gospel, or for the sake of the gospel. He became a prisoner because he endeavored to make Christ known. Alright? Is God's suffering servant on the earth. Do you follow that? Every time you read through the New Testament portion of scripture and you find the disciples or the apostles suffer for the sake of the gospel, they are fulfilling Ebed Yahweh. Do you follow that? Of the Old Testament, that suffering servant, that one who suffers, goes through a lot in order to fill the world with the knowledge of God. Do you get it? So that role, that responsibility has now been transferred to the church. Do you follow that? So how do we know that we are the children of God? Yes, we have righteousness. Amen. We have the blessing of Abraham, but much more in persecution. Do you follow that? In weaknesses, in trials, in tribulations. That proves that we are now the Israel of God. Do you get it? We are doing what Israel of the Old Testament was supposed to do. We suffer to fill the world, to fill the earth with the knowledge of Christ. Amen. Did you learn? All right, lift your hands, give God praise.